And back on Press Conference Live, and Paul Dottino, Roman Oben with you. Roman, it's a, what, 5 or 6 hour flight out to San Diego on Sunday?
Well, it's a better flight coming back home, especially after a victory. So if both teams are 5-7, trying to get their sixth win is definitely going to be a big matchup.
Yeah, we'll see how the Giants fare. Both teams 5-7, as you heard Tom Coughlin talk about. All right, GEICO likes to remind you that it takes 15 seconds to save 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit GEICO.com. And our news actually is that the NFC Defensive Player of the Week named this morning is defensive end Justin Tuck. 4 sacks against Washington the other night.
Hey, I was very happy for Tuck and what he did and to see him play like that. I mean, he does well under the lights for some reason. So he did it inside, outside, you know, playing rushing over as a three technique. And when you know that he was feeling it, I said, he might have a multiple sack performance, and he ended up with 4.
Yeah, that gives him 6.5 for the season, the highest sack total he's had since 2010. All right, Roman, let's get a look at the injury report. You heard Coach Coughlin talk about some of these guys moments ago.
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs is a guy, you know, he said he's working today. You know, hopefully he's back. Tremaine McBride obviously affects the DB rotation. And JPP, who missed last week, I'm sure he's chomped at the bits with Justin Tuck getting 4 sacks. So hopefully he can do something today and get better each day this week.
JPP went for acupuncture treatments yesterday. They helped Antonio Pierce and Michael Strahan in the past. Will they help JPP? We're just not 100% sure right now.
Well, the D-line is obviously better when JPP is playing at full speed. You know, what he brings to the table, his size, his strength, and you know, this D-line is stacked with D-linemen, and everyone seems to step up. But, you know, JPP is a guy that Giants could rely on to beat a talented Chargers football team.
All right, now, without JPP, the Giants beat the Washington Redskins the other day. They held Alfred Morris, one of the top three rushers in the NFL, to under 30 yards. The Giants right now are ranked 11th in the NFL in total defense.
Yeah, and this defense continues to improve each week. You know, over the last 5 or 6 weeks, Paul, I mean, the defense has been lights out. I mean, we went back to the sacks. 5 sacks, having the first 5 or 6 weeks, and landing 19 or 18 since then. So, but defensively, from the interior, they've shut down running backs, going back to Adrian Peterson, a lot of backs, and Alfred Morris. I think he was 2 yards a carry. You knew RG3 was going to have some yards, but it didn't really make a difference in the game. But their goal, number one, last week was stopping Alfred Morris, which they did.
Yeah, and once again, it was the quarterback's rushing, as you mentioned RG3 moments ago, Roman. It's like if the quarterback doesn't run, you're not running against the Giants because that's the one guy they don't seem to be able to totally shut down.
Well, and again, if a quarterback gets a couple of first downs and moves the chains, it's really about the red zone and if they can score on the ground in the red zone, which they didn't after those first 2 touchdowns.
Okay, let's go to our Twitter question. It comes from the Giants man who wants to know, how did Jayron Hosley play on Sunday? He had 4 tackles and knocked down a pass.
Well, I think he did admirably well considering he'd been gone so much, and as Coach Coughlin alluded to, it's good to have him back there in that rotation. I mean, you're going to need everybody, you know, down the stretch, but it was good to see number 28 back on the field. You know, I know he's been working very hard, rehabbing, and desperately wanted to help that big win on Sunday night.
Another guy who's kind of reemerged recently is tight end Brandon Myers. Targeted 6 times, had 5 catches for 61 yards. A 22-yard touchdown catch at the end of the first half, which I thought was critical to the Giants' comeback.
Yeah, Tom alluded to that 3rd down catch. That was phenomenal. Go back to last week, that Dallas a touchdown that he scored where no one touched him. He ran in the end zone. I mean, he's looking like he's really starting to pick up momentum. It's late in the season. This offense works well when you have Myers and the 1 and 2 receivers stretching the field. That's what the Giants are going to need down this critical stretch of the season.
Roman, a little bit of bad news, though, coming out of the Washington game. This is the worst the offensive line has looked in probably a month and a half or so. Brian Arakpo had 2 big sacks on Will Beattie. That was not so great.
Yeah, and you knew that on the road as a tackle, you're going to be off the ball a little bit late. But I was a little critical on Beattie after postgame. But, you know, Beattie, when you don't want to get beat inside, when you have a chip on the outside, and you definitely don't want to, you know, kind of turn your shoulder and open the gate or miss with your hands, because that's going to create, you know, separation, so to speak, from the defensive lineman. So it wasn't one of the best games, but as a pro athlete, as a left tackle, you've got to fight back from that and have a better game the next week.
All right, not only were they under duress in terms of the pass pressure, but also the running game. Look at this number, 12 carries for 7 yards in the second half on the ground. Not good.
Well, not good, but look at the defense you're going against. So I go back to almost the Green Bay game a few weeks ago. Weren't going to probably have 150 yards, but if they ran well in situations, that's what would make them effective.
All right, Roman, that pretty much takes care of the Giants. When we come back after this timeout, we will delve into the San Diego Chargers. So stick around. welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. The Chargers are 5-7, but they have only won one of their last five games. They had this great win a couple of weeks ago in Kansas City against what at that point was supposed to be an unstoppable Chiefs team, and then last weekend at home they lost to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, the Chargers' up-and-down season, I mean, look at their wins and losses, and it looks like the stock market, but they've won five games. They lost a tough game, and, you know, what Mike McCoy's done this year is really bring a new sense of vigor and excitement. So this organization is going in the right direction, but this year they have had some up-and-down games.
Yeah, when you take a look at some of their plays, I mean, they can make plays on occasion. But then again, I think a lot of NFL teams can.
Yeah, Paul, as you know, I mean, I started with, you know, Phil Rivers, Nick Hardwick, the center, Antonio Gates. I played with guys that are still on this team. And they've always been talented and explosive. But what Mike McCoy's done, you brought that Denver approach offensively where you could spread the ball out. And then defensively, you know, they've done well also. And, you know, Phil Rivers, obviously, has always been a good, talented guy at the quarterback position.
Now, you're getting a look at some of the numbers for Phillip Rivers. He has had truly a sensational year. He has thrown a touchdown pass in every single game this season. And by the way, he's only been sacked 22 times, which is the fourth fewest in the NFL.
When you look at the sacks, he's getting rid of the ball very, very quickly. He's got Antonio Gates. He's got Woodhead. He's got some good weapons on the outside. But again, that Denver system, you know, the ball has to get distributed quickly, putting the ball in a position where the guys can run and catch it right away, keeping the quarterback clean.
Yeah, you mentioned Antonio Gates, 64 catches, second among tight ends in the National Football League this year, third among tight ends with 39 first downs converted, and he's also registered more than 700 yards.
Yeah, Antonio Gates always had a knack for just getting open, finding those soft spots. He's a tough guy. He doesn't look like a big guy, but he's actually 250 pounds, and you know he had the athletic ability playing basketball in college, so he knows how to go and get those jump balls as well.
But, you know, one of the reasons that the percentage is so good for Rivers at 70 is because he's checking it down and dumping it down to Danny Woodhead. 61 catches this year, leads all NFL running backs.
You know, one thing Phillip Rivers was missing when Darren Sproles left to go to New Orleans was that type of back, and that's what Danny Woodhead has brought to the table. He's a great safety valve. Again, he's also an excellent returner, and he's good yards after the catch. And you'll see him going up and down the football field.
Ryan Matthews has run for nearly 800 yards this year at 4.5 yards a carry. He is their premier running threat.
Yeah, he's built kind of like a Chris Johnson at Tennessee. He's good tackle to tackle. He's got some explosion. Had some injuries in the past, but he's a very competent running back. The Giants are going to be keen for number 24 on Sunday.
But in virtually all the important defensive categories, the Chargers are in the bottom five or six in the league.
Yeah, you know, defensively, they've given up some points. They've given up some yards. But again, third down, I think, is what's going to keep them on or off the field.
One of these teams is going to win their sixth game of the season. Will it be the Giants or the Chargers? We'll find out on Sunday. That'll do it for this edition of Giants Press Conference Live.